suspect came out of the gate next to his house, fired once into the ground, and then drew down on this 11-year-old boy who was running away.
You don't think he haphazardly shot the gun and it accidentally hit the boy? You believe that he aimed at this boy?
That is exactly what we believe.
Was there ever a moment where your team considered this may have been self-defense?
No, never. There were no weapons that this young man had. There's nothing to suggest that he was taking property.
This is a follow-up on that story we talked about several times about the ding-dong ditch, the 11-year-old boy who got shot in the back by the homeowner. It's way worse than we even thought. I mean, he had been in the neighborhood. Apparently, they had rung the doorbell of this house previously once or twice that night, so I can understand why the homeowner was annoyed. No objection there. You can be annoyed. What you can't do is take your weapon out and hide in the shadows behind your fence and wait for him to come, ring the doorbell, and then let alone point your gun at them. That's a crime. And shoot him. That's a crime. In the back. I mean, it's just murder. And he was, in fact, charged, finally, with this. It took him a day or two to get the charge in, but finally he was. Joining us now is not here, obviously. This is elsewhere, but still crazy. What a horrible story. Let's see. We got Mike Wood, who is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You and I talk so much about, you and I and Sheriff Johnson and Sheriff Simmons and everybody else talk about guns and appropriate use of guns, self-defense and all that kind of stuff. I assume that you're, law enforcement kind of watching this story in amazement and horror, and that finally the fact that he got arrested was kind of like, well, thank God for that, because that's what it fits, right?
Yeah, this one seems pretty clean cut, but in all cases, you have to look at each and every case differently. And before they brought charges, they wanted to make sure they had everything right, and sometimes that takes a day or two.
Yeah, right, and sometimes you got to, certain jurisdictions, I guess you have to consult with the SAO or the DA or whatever, and that's fine, but... Anyway, glad that this, it's not here, but still, you hate to see something like that be nationwide news. It's so horrible. Here locally, we did have a shooting on the 800 block of West Gadsden, and you guys have made an arrest, right?
Yeah, that was early Sunday morning. An officer heard gunshots in that area. He happened to be very close. We also, moments later, got a ShotSpotter notification of the incident. It was in the 800 block of Gadsden Street. When they arrived, they found an adult male who had been shot multiple times. And fortunately, he's going to be okay. The detectives got right on this case, as they always do, and were able to develop information, and yesterday made an arrest in that case.
Great. I mean, a terrible thing, but that's why we have you guys there to deal with the terrible things. You mentioned ShotSpotter, and I just don't know the status of it. I know the sheriff said the funding is going to expire and they're not going to be able to get it for next year. Are you guys in the same boat? Do we know what's going to happen with ShotSpotter in the future?
Yeah, we are, and we're in collaboration, and we're going to look and try to find alternate sources of funding, because it's really a great program, and we hate to see anything happen to it. So that's something that we're going to have to wait and see and see what happens. But again, we're looking and hoping to find some alternative sources of funding.
On that note, I know the story about the license plate readers, license plate cameras. Correct me if I've gotten this wrong. I think there's going to be 18 of them in total, about $108,000. And I thought I read, am I right in thinking that those also have a gunshot detection system carried along with them?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, okay.
on an LPR. So if that's the case, I've never heard of that. But,
okay.
But not saying, yeah, I don't think so. But yeah, this is LPRs or license plate readers are something that's not new to this area. It will be new to the city, but they're all over the country, and they've proven their worth. They are very good at detecting vehicles that we need, especially in situations like kidnappings, homicides, even silver alerts when they go out. So it's a very good system, and with anything new, I remember when dash cams and police cars and body cams came out, people were worried about privacy and things like that. But with anything new, we're going to have there's going to be some opposition, but the good far outweighs the bad on these license plate readers.
Well, and, I was talking with Rick Hawthorne, Chief Hawthorne, Gulf Breeze Police, about this when they made the decision a couple of months ago. And, he was kind of running through some of the scenarios that these things can be useful for. And like you said, amber alerts, silver alerts, potentially, you know, orders of protection, you know, if you're worried about somebody. You know, I mean, they're not going to be on every side street, but it does offer you the opportunity that if a crime has happened or you might think is about to happen, or even a license plate that you're suspicious of. I mean, there's all kinds of ways this can be used, including the example he gave me was, you know, you're on the beach and somebody does a hit and run, and you can basically go back and look over the data and see what, you know, how many two-door red sedans crossed that camera in the hour after the incident was reported, or the half hour before, cross-reference that, and you can start to build, you know, a database of suspects, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And there's been another case of what, obviously, it was not here, but a male threatened his wife, said he was going to come back from out of state and kill her and the kids. They were able to put his license plate. He's from out of state, but they put the system in, or license plate in the system. And sure enough, he came three states away to that city, and the license plate readers alerted local law enforcement that, hey, he is now in town. Officers were able to get to that house, and they got there before he did. So those LPRs saved that young lady's life and probably the kids as well. So there's a lot of good reasons to have them. We're glad to see them and hope they stay.
The data collected by the license plate readers is not kept permanently. The data collected by the license plate readers is not public record. Both of those are true, right?
Yeah, and also there's been some concern about law enforcement or people who have access to that information using it in the wrong way. And I can tell you that if that happens, it's just like right now, you know, I can put a tag in the computer in my vehicle and run it, but you have to have a reason for doing that. You can't do it for personal use. And if you get caught doing that, it's going to end your career and take your standards in Florida where you can't be a police officer anymore. So there are severe consequences for anybody that would do something like that. There are rules in place for the abuse.
And I believe, at least, again, going on the pattern at Gulf Breeze, you tell me if it's going to be different at PPD, but the, you know, beat patrol officer is not even able to use them directly. It's going to be supervisors that authorize it and input data. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. A lot of times, you know, we'll get the information like from the real-time crime center on vehicles that we're looking for, and it's dispatched to us. So we don't have access to any of that information. The patrol officer does not.
Again, on the license plate readers, we're talking to Mike Wood, the PIO for Pensacola Police Department, or the PPD PIO, as I like to say, when I'm using my mental shorthand. When do we know when these are going to get implemented?
No, it's several months away, which is much better than several years away. So contracts have to be drawn up, locations have to be determined, and things like that. So no, I don't have a solid answer for you at this
point.
And
cost is that right? About $100,000 for the 18? Do you know?
That's what I understand. Yes.
Okay. Very good. And I also assume that unlike red light cameras, where we warned you they were coming, we told you where they were going to be, and whenever you cross one, there's a massive sign that says, hey, it's here, dummy. Part of the value of the LPRs is that they are not going to be super highly advertised. Are they mobile, as in can you change locations pretty easily? I thought that was true of the Gulf Breeze ones.
Yeah, you can change locations, but being the pretty easy part is the problem. So
I see.
Yeah, we're not going to release the information on where they are, and it's very obvious why, because, you know, the system can be defeated and will be useless. So that information is something that we're going to keep to ourselves and again, for obvious reasons.
And are they going to be, like, I know, again, I hate to keep using Gulf Breeze, but I just know more about that particular case. They have one that was their pilot test one, which was attached to, I think, a trailer, basically, that they could move around to different places. Is the plan to have a mobile version of this as well?
Well, we've already done that. We've already had them on our cruisers, and that was years ago. LPRs are not something new. So they are able to be put on cars. They can be put on mobile trailers. They can go just about anywhere. So
okay.
To answer your question, I don't know just yet on what we're going to do with them. Most of them are going to be permanently mounted, but they are something that you can see mounted on police vehicles if necessary.
Gotcha. We also had overnight yesterday, a vehicle burglary. Is that right? That you wanted, which you caught the guy, which is good, but go ahead.
Yeah, that was Friday night on John Carroll Drive. We had a burglary in progress call. A male was seen going into multiple vehicles. Officers got to the area. They set up a perimeter. They used a drone. They also used a canine and eventually tracked him to the trunk of a vehicle. He was able to get out of that trunk and flee as officers approached, but a foot pursuit began, and they were quickly able to take him into custody, and the stolen items were located and returned to the owner. So happy ending there.
Great. Well, we'll take it. Let's see. I thought I had one other. Oh, yeah. I saw a story, and I know we're a couple weeks in after back to school already, but I thought it was a very interesting observation. And it was basically a warning from law enforcement about back-to-school photos, which, of course, the first day back, you want to take a picture of your kid and brag about how they're going to kindergarten or seventh grade or, you know, whatever the case may be. But the story was indicating that a lot of parents don't think too much about the ramifications of putting a photo with your kid and his name and his teacher's name and the school and what time they let out. And maybe in the background of the photo it has your house and your street address on the house. I mean, you know, not great ideas all the time. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, photos of children and addresses can be a problem. That's something that we don't ever suggest that you do. But there's nothing wrong with posting your children online if that's what you want to do. A lot of people are totally against that and won't do it. And others are the opposite and will post everything their child's doing in school. And they're very proud of them, their extracurricular activities that they're doing. So that's something that you have to make, a decision you have to make on your own as a parent.
And I will, you know, Mike's talking about me, by the way. or at least, you know, if intentionally or not. For parents who might be wondering if it's okay to not post pictures of your kids on social media, I've never one time in my entire life posted a picture of any of my kids or my wife on social media because of what I do. But also, at a certain point, my decision was I wanted them to have the ability to control their own digital identity. And I didn't want to impose upon them whatever, you know, my life or occupation would. And so I just kept them completely off of social media. And I can't see how that created any problem, you know, whereas photos of kids can create a problem. It doesn't automatically. I know everybody does it, but I'm giving you permission. You have Andrew McKay's permission not to do it. Anything you want to add to that, Mike?
No, not at all. It's a decision that, I mean, it can't hurt if you don't. And most of the time, fortunately, it doesn't hurt if you do. So right. It's a decision that you have to make on your own.
You had a case that we had not had a chance to talk about this. You had a guy who I think, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, was a felon who wound up getting arrested. And in his car, on his person, you found brass knuckles for which he got an additional charge for a concealed weapon. And that was my question is, I mean, are you allowed to own them? Are they a concealed weapon? Can you get prosecuted for that? And, you know, I don't know the status. I mean, I don't have any. I'm not intending to buy any, but I'm curious.
Well, concealed carry of brass knuckles in Florida is not legal, even with a permit.
Really?
And you can't sell them in Florida. But strictly having them, having them is not necessarily against the law. It depends, you know, if you're a convicted felon, then there's a problem there. But, possessing or carrying brass knuckles concealed is illegal and can lead to criminal charges and enhanced penalties if you use them, if you strike somebody with them.
Okay, so is that true also of, like, the little throwing stars, shuriken? Is that true of a nunchucks? Is that, like, I don't know what's the in and the out list, and I'm curious because people may wonder.
Yeah, I mean, they're deadly weapons. So, you know, once again, if it depends on your criminal history, and in the manner that you use them. And simple possession is not always against the law, but once you conceal them or once you use them when you are a convicted felon, then things begin to change at that point.
Even with a permit, even if I have, and I actually have one, although you don't need one anymore in Florida, but if you have a concealed carry permit, you still can't conceal carry a brass knuckles or a throwing stars or, you know, is that true?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, every day you learn something. Hey, do you have any did you know or a cop myth for us today?
I do, and this has to do with some calls that we've gotten sometimes about video. If, you know, I'm getting tired of people videoing me in public, videoing my children, and they call the police, and unfortunately there's not anything we can do about that if you are in public and have no reasonable expectation of privacy. So, and you see a lot of that online with First Amendment auditors and things like that. And if you are in public, there's not a thing that the police can do about anyone videoing you with their phone. But it's a little bit different with audio. With audio, you have both parties I have to be aware that there is an audio recording in progress.
Yeah, because Florida's a two-party consent state, right, for recordings. And then also, I mean, obviously there are exceptions when, you know, somebody's trying to do something lurid, you know, shooting video up somebody's skirt, something like that, or harassing, invading their personal space. That can become a crime, but general recording is not a crime.
That's correct. Yeah, but yeah, when you're starting to record, like you said, young ladies up close, then that is a crime. But just walking down the street, people get annoyed of others recording them with their phones, and sometimes the police get called, and there's just nothing we can do about that at that point.
Very good. And, you know, laws can be changed. If you don't like that law, want it to be more restrictive, you can always talk to your legislator. We have a few in the area, and they might listen to you. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you so much for the time, for keeping us informed and clarifying us, and for helping, you know, tell the other folks in your force how much we appreciate them. I know you do that a bunch, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.